भागवते वासुदेवाय किन्तु शास्त्री बहुद्वेषात् बाहूनाम् इह कार्मिणम् शास्त्रित्वम् उपचारोहि यथा मण्डलवार्तिनम्
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Yamadutas continued. Since there are many different karmis or workers, there may be different judges or rulers to give them justice. But just as one central emperor controls different departmental rulers, there must be one supreme controller to guide all the judges. Purport. In the governmental management, there may be departmental officials to give justice to different persons, but the law must be one, and that central law must control everyone. The Yamadutas could not imagine that two judges would give two different verdicts in the same case, and therefore they wanted to know who the central judge is. The Yamadutas were certain that Ajamil was a most sinful man, but although Yamaraj wanted to punish him, the Vishnu Dutas excused him. This was a puzzling situation that the Yamadutas wanted Yamaraj to clarify. There may be departmental officials to give justice to different persons, but the law must be one, and that central law must control everyone. When we go to different countries, we see that there are different laws. And when we go to that country, then we have to follow the laws of those particular countries. Just like when Prabhupada gives the example that when we come to India, then we drive on the left-hand side of the road. And actually, this is the British system. So those of you who go to Britain, you'll be relieved to know that in Britain also you'll be able to drive on the left-hand side of the road. There's other civilized people in this world. But if you go to America, then if you drive on the left-hand side of the road in America, then you'll be doing the wrong thing. Maybe in Canada too, John Paul, yeah. You'll be doing the wrong thing. So on one hand, if you're in India, you behave that way, you're doing the right thing. And then if you go to America, you behave in the same way, then all of a sudden you're doing the wrong thing. So the question is, who decides what's right and wrong? Who can make that decision? This is right and this is wrong. This is the question. This is the question that we're going to be looking at in this chapter. So the answer is that the government decide what's right and what's wrong. And why do they? How is it that they can? That it's up to them to make that decision, because they are the government, which means that they govern. How is it that they govern? They govern because they have the power. They have the power. And if we go to America, you get on the plane, you go to America, and you arrive at JFK, New York, and you go there, and then you say, so I'd like to come and see the Empire State Building and other things. And they say, so can we have a look at your visa? And then you say, oh, but I didn't know that I had to have a visa. So then they say, sorry, get on the next plane and go back. And actually you will find that this is what they do. This is what they do. Because they have the power. And you can say, no, but I want to go. I want to go. But you don't have the power to go. You can't just go and see. If you want, that's not sufficient. They have to allow you. They have to give you the permission. They have to allow you. So they have the power to prevent you from going into the country. Simple as that. So it's not up to us. You see, you can't just go there and say, no, but I want to go. I was one time leaving India and I made some mistake with my visa, this and that. And I was leaving India and I was all ready to go. And, we had the booking, Indian Airlines had the booking, and I had everything arranged in the country I was flying to, the next engagement, everything lined up, everything packed, got to the airport well in advance, no problems in the traffic. I was able to check in and everything before the crowds, everything fine. I was leaving, I was on, as we say, I was out of the place. It was gone. And then I was going through immigration, and the immigration officer noticed a little discrepancy in the visa. And he said, but where is the no objection letter for departure? Where is the no objection letter? And I said, oh, blah, 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 blah. I'm just, we're all set to go now. Next time. I said, next time. Yeah. And he said, no. You must go back. I said, no, I want to leave now. I'm all packed. My luggage is on the plane. I want to leave. He said, no, it's not allowed. It's a government regulation. You must go back. And I said, no, I couldn't believe it. It was like a dream, a nightmare. This is not happening, I was thinking. And then all of a sudden he pressed the red button and the red light starts flashing. Beep, 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 beep. And all the people in the line behind me are all looking, what's this, And I said to him, I even said, how much would it cost if I could go today? How much extra would it cost if I could go right now? And he said, no, it is a government regulation. You must go back. And no matter how much I wanted, they have the power. They have the power. So they make the law. We have to follow the law. So if you go to the court and you've been arrested by the police and you say to the judge, you say, and of course when I went back, and it was like, I just, I forgot to get this formed, I'll just fill out the form and I'll go the next day. And the guy at the registration office said, no, it will take 5 days. Full application, letters from sponsors, blood tests, photographs. I said, I'm just leaving the country. I had to do all these things. So we go to the court. We say, we've been arrested by the police. And we say, Your Honor, I don't know, why I've been dealt with in this uncivilized manner. Actually, I am a very law-abiding citizen. And then you reach into your pocket and you pull out your day timer and you say, I am following all the laws. I have written all the laws and I am following them down to the T. I've written all my laws. Here they are. And I'm following them all. And I'm a very law-abiding citizen. I don't know why you're treating me in such an uncivilized, ungentlemanly manner. Right? So what will the judge say? He will say, take this rascal away and lock him up. He doesn't have the proper attitude. He needs some rectification. Lock him away. So the judge will say that you can't make up your own laws and follow them and equate that with following the laws of the government. You have to follow our laws. And you say, no, I'm following the laws. I'm following all my own laws. But that doesn't count. We don't care. My law is that I come to America, I want to see Empire State Building, I bought the ticket, that's it. No, you have to follow our laws because we are in control. We have the power. We make the laws. You have to follow our laws. Who else you go onto the street and say, look, I've written all the laws. We don't care for your laws. No one's going to follow your laws. Why? Why not? No, but I've written them all. They're all in here. You go and announce it on the street. I've written all the laws. No one's going to follow your laws. Why not? Because you've got no power. We don't have to follow your law because you've got no power. So this is the science of it. That those who have the power, they make the law. So the government, they make the laws because they have the power. They have the control. They have the power. We don't have the power. And yet, this is what everyone is doing, materialistic life, is that the philosophy of materialism is that what's good for you, you do that. This is called making up your own laws. If it feels good, do it. I'm following the law. I've made the law and I'm following it. This is good for me. I'm doing it. But these laws, when you come to the court of Yamaraj, I'm following all my laws. We don't care for your laws. You have to follow our laws, the laws of the Lord. So Yamaraj goes on to explain in this very chapter. He says that Dharman tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. That the law, the Dharma, Shakshat Bhagavat Pranitam is directly established by Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord. And only he has that power to establish the law. Therefore, Krishna appears in this material world for this very reason. Yada yadahi adharma sha, when all of our invented laws are becoming prominent, yada yadahi dharma shaglanir bhavati bharata abhyutaram adharma sha abhyutaram, when there is increase in all of our made up laws and made up so called duties, dharma sangstapanataya, to reestablish what is the real law, dharma sangstapanataya sambhavami, I appear, juge, repeatedly, from time to time. So he comes to actually tell us, or to re-establish, what is the law. And because he has the power, because he is the supreme authority, then only he can actually establish the law. It has to come from him. It has to be authorized by him. And ultimately, just like our example of, because in India, the government wants you to drive on the left. In America, the government wants you to drive on the right. So that becomes right. So similarly, the ultimate dharma, the ultimate good or moral principle, is to do what Bhagavan wants. There is no higher good than that. And whatever he wants constitutes the highest morality, because he decides what's right and what's wrong. He has the power. And his decision of what he wants, that constitutes the highest ultimate, we could say, law. Whatever he says, that is the law. And we can see, you know, we can see that this is the problem with secular life or secular government, that actually when it comes down to it, what determines whether something is right or wrong? This question of morality, what is it that something's right or wrong? Unless we actually make the final connection to what God wants, then our attempts to establish morality are always insufficient. This is the problem with actually without recognizing the law of God, that these man-made laws, they always remain insufficient and ultimately unsatisfactory for all persons involved. But we can see that there's a reflection of that there is law, that there is conception of right and wrong, even in a materialistic culture, there's conception of right or wrong. What something is right, something is wrong. That is, ethics is there, even in atheists. But we can see that actually it's meaningless unless you accept the ultimate lawmaker. How can you determine whether something is right or wrong? And now we can see that this perversion, the perverted reflection of morality, you can see how it's imperfect. Like, for example, the government, they make the rules, but instead of government's responsibility is to rule or make laws according to what God wants. That's why Krishna explains in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that evam param param praptam imam raja ashayo vidu. That imam, this knowledge, raja ashayo vidu, is understood by the governors. It's meant for being understood by the raja ashayo vidu. Meant to be understood by the administrators. Their responsibility is to understand what God wants, what will please God, and make laws in support of that ultimate principle. So this is their responsibility. But instead, now we see, because of giving up the authority, giving up God, and there is no God, outlawing God, he doesn't exist or he's dead, then we can see what's the criteria. Instead of what God wants, criteria is what the people want. And in this way, it's irreligion. In this way, this is adharma glanir. This is rise of irreligion. For example, in America, you know, it's abortion is legal in America. Why has it become legal? Even though it is actually against the law of God to kill a child in the womb, it is legal in America. It is allowed there. It is made legal because the government are influenced they're controlled by the people. In other words, that we will present this policy that the abortion is legal because people will vote for us because they want abortion. So in this way, they're establishing what's right and what's wrong. It's all due to the material, you know, influence. We could say the influence of Maya, material. The interest of the illusory population on their vox populi is described as by the majority. What the majority want, we make that right. But what about the rights of the child in the womb? What about the rights? Is that good for that child who's taken shelter of that mother's womb? That because the majority of the people, you know, have said it's okay if I decide to kill the child, then that all of a sudden becomes right. What about the rights? What about the child in the room? Is it right? It's not. So in this way, we can see that the man-manufactured morality is always imperfect. Only when we agree to abide by the order of God and the desires of God can everyone actually be fully satisfied and fully protected. Otherwise, it becomes a matter of a tug of war of interests. You know, our good versus your good, and might is right. Who's stronger? Who has majority? Then we get to say what is right. So this is actually demoniac. This is the government. This is the law of the demons, demoniac. But you know, at least there is some law. The animal society, there's no law, no laws, no accountability. It's they don't have the capacity. Human inherent in the human physiological structure is this ability to inquire what's right and what's wrong in a situation. But due to lack of education in actually, you know, the law of God, then people rakshashim asharim chaiva prakritim mohinim ashritaha, taking shelter of the material energy, they become attracted to demoniac and atheistic attitudes. Rakshashim asharim chaiva, take shelter rakshasha and asharim, demoniac atheistic meant. Prakriti mohini mashritaha, having taken shelter of the material energy. So this is the fault in the so-called morality or dharma, duty, right or wrong, which is divorced from the desires of the Lord. So Krishna, he makes it very clear in the Bhagavad Gita. He makes it very obvious, you know, what he wants and what constitutes the highest dharma. Mama ekang sharanam. Sarva dharman paridyagya, all the other responsibilities are inferior to this one, which is mam ekam sharanam. You just surrender to me. You just serve me. Manmana, think of me. Bhavamad bhakta, you love me. Madhyajimam, you worship me. Mam namaskuru, you bow down to me. In this chapter, actually, Yamaraj will go on to explain what is the highest principle of religion. He says, "Etavan evalokeshmi punksha dharma parashmrita." He says that in this world, for the human civilization, punksha dharma parashmrita, the highest principle of duty or morality or religion, Bhagavad Bhakti Yoga taha tadnama grahanadibi, is to love the Supreme Lord, Bhagawan, and worship Him and serve Him, Bhagavad Bhakti, Yogataha, serving Him, to serve God, to please God, tadnama grahanadibi. And that process of bhakti is based on or begins with tadnama grahan, chanting of His holy name. So Yamaraj explains very clearly that the highest morality, you know, if you talk about what is good, what is the highest good, the highest rule or law, according to Yamaraj in this chapter, he explains, is to worship the Lord, please the Lord by the process of chanting His holy name. These are reflected, this statement of Yamaraj is reflected in the Gita. Krishna explains that jagnyatat kamana netra. Everything is meant for His satisfaction. Jagnyatat, for the purpose of satisfying Him. Karmano. Everything we do must be to please the Lord. Nyatra loko mam karma bandana. And anything apart from that which is meant to please the Lord, karma bandana, is sinful and will cause us reactions in this material world. Tadartam, for that purpose, karma, kuntiya, you do everything for that purpose. What purpose? To satisfy the Lord. Mukta shanga. In this way, you become freed from the material entanglement, samachara, and become completely liberated. So actually, the law of God, the ultimate religious principle that Krishna clearly explains in the Bhagavad Gita, is that we have to Human life means that we have to actually practice spiritual life. We have to serve the Lord. Ananyaschintayantumam ye janapayupashade, without any other interest, without any other activity. Sometimes people, they say, oh yeah, we're interested in spiritual life, but we we like, you know, we like to have, you know, like a bit of, we could say, a balance. Something for Krishna, something for me and the family. A bit of a balance. Well, yeah. But Krishna comes to establish this is a religion. This is our dharma. The balance is 100% for Krishna. That's what He comes to establish. Yad Koroshi, whatever you do, Yad Dhoshi, Yad Dadashi Dadashi Yad, Yad Ashnashi, whatever you eat, Tat Kurushva Mad Arpanam, you have to do it to please me. That is the highest principle of morality. And unless everything we do is meant to please Krishna, then we are immoral. We are illegal. We are law breakers. That is the law that Krishna comes to establish in the Bhagavad Gita. So there is no such. The balance means that we have to give up sinful life and we have to take to the spiritual life, the life of satisfying Krishna. Of course, that doesn't all mean that we have to imitate the sannyasis and the brahmacharis. Krishna doesn't say that. Stane stita, you remain in your particular position, but you can't change the principle that he comes to establish, that if you are the enjoyer, that is sinful. Yukta kama palam tyagva shantim apnati noishtiki. That those who give up palam yukta karma palam tyagva, give up the result of their activity, they attain spiritual peace and happiness. Ayukta kama karena pale shakto. But those who are attached to enjoying the result of their activities, nibadya, they become entangled, that is sinful. That is has to be given up. The principle we can't change, because that is, Krishna is making that law. It's what he wants, but actually it is in our real best interest also, because what we can't, you know, the enjoying propensity is actually not our jurisdiction, or the enjoyment is not our jurisdiction. We are not meant to be the enjoyer. We are not the enjoyer. He is the enjoyer, and we are the enjoyed. So on this principle, he makes the law. So this can't be changed. We have to understand what is the essential teaching of Bhagavad Gita, that Jiv Krishna Das, Ei Bishash, I am the servant of Krishna, believe this, act according to this, accept this in our lives. Ei Bishash Korle To Ar Dukkanai. Krishna is making this law because it is actually in our interest. It's not that we become enslaved to a life of suffering, giving everything to Krishna and nothing for ourselves. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jiv Krishna Das Ei Bishash, those who believe and act according to the principle that Krishna is the enjoyer and we are his servant, correlate to our dukkanai. You do that, there's no more misery in your life. Everything for Krishna, I am Krishna's servant, that means no more misery in your life. Mukta Sangha, you become liberated from this material suffering. So we can understand these principles of the Lord, they are meant for our interest. And unfortunately, we are influenced by the materialistic values of this modern age. And in this way, we come to question, you know, why we have to follow this book, why we have to do what Krishna says. All of this atheistic, rakshashim asharim attitude of the atheists and the demons, we become influenced by. So we have to propagate. We have to be bold in our preaching and actually present the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita and give guidance to society and save the society from being misled by these usurpers, those who have captured the position of leadership. They have to be, unwarrantedly, you know, they're sabotaged. No, what is it? Hijackers. The hijackers of civilization who have moved in simply on the basis of their power and saying, no more God, we establish what's right or wrong now. Of course, we may not be able to attack in the same way with the weapons, but we have to address through the process of education. We have to give enlightenment. We have to awaken people to what is the actual principles of Dharma, what is right and wrong, what are the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. That is our responsibility. That is the mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Jare deka tare koha Krishna upadesh. This is the mission established by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have to, whoever you meet, you have to tell them what is the law of Krishna. Amar agya guru hoy. We have to become the teachers of the society. Tara e desh, and deliver this country and this world from the hands of the misdirected leaders, or those who are leading according to their own concepts of what is law. Hare Krishna. Any questions on this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam? Any question on today's verse?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you said that hijackers of religion have taken control of government.
Hijackers of?
Of religion. Have taken control of government. So, how can we change that?
We said they've hijacked the government. Mm. Yeah. Actually, the government is meant to reflect the laws of God. Mm. How can we change it? We mentioned we have to educate. We're not in a position to challenge with arms at this stage. We have to educate. We have to educate the people. We have to educate people. Just as we've all been educated, we've all come from backgrounds of so-called inventing our own laws, materialism, or so-called dharma, so-called religious life. And we've all accepted that these things are not the real law, but the real law is that we serve Krishna predominantly by chanting his holy name. So we've changed. As a result of getting education, we've changed. And now we're following the ultimate law. So our business is to give education. You'll find the purposes of ISKCON, the very first principle, Prabhupada explains, the very first purpose of this institution is to systematically educate the peoples of the world in the principles of religion. And to check the imbalance in values, which has come as a result of the materialistic concepts, materialistic values, to check them as a result of systematic education of the principles of Bhagavad Dharma. So this is our response, or this is our business, is to provide education. All of our activities, our preaching activities, are centered around this to facilitate this purpose. That people come, they come and they see, they come to this temple, they bow down to the guru, and they look and they see, wow, this is not just some ritual or some superficial sentiment. Look at all these books here. Immediately, they're given information. Now take these books. These books are meant for our contemplation, svadhyaya. These books are meant for our study, for our internal contemplation. So our job is to give people the chance, not that they can, you know, remain in ignorance and say, I never knew what the law of God was. Of course, we can't force people. Yata ichcha sitata kuru. Krishna concludes his teachings to Arjuna at the end of the Gita that you do what you want to do. Yata ichchasi, what you desire, tata kuro, you do that. But, kachchit etat shrutam partha tva ekagrena chetasa. Have you heard everything I've been explaining in this discussion? Have you heard with an attentive mind? Kachchit agana samaham pranastas te dananjaya. Where is your illusion now? So we have to give the facility for everyone to get an opportunity to actually hear about what is the desires of God and the teachings that he comes to establish. We are the peon, Prabhupada says. Our responsibility is to make that available to people, to give them opportunity to hear what are the laws of the Lord and what he wants. And then it's up to them to decide whether they want to follow or not. Okay? Yes.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned in that song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that once we have this knowledge that we're Krishna's servant, then all miseries vanish. Well, I'm still miserable and I'm here. So I was wondering, even though we have this kind of knowledge, sometimes it can make us more miserable when we realize that actually I'm a terrible servant. I still have so many attachments, and that's a source of misery in itself. And so when... Can you elaborate, please?
There's different types of misery. Just as there's different types of happiness. So the misery that comes from frustration as a result of unfulfilled material desire, that's different. Krishna calls that misery, he calls it krodha, anger. Kama esha, krodha esha. From our desires, because they're unfulfilled, then we become angry. That's the type of misery that the materialist is experiencing. Unsatisfaction, no, dissatisfaction. So he's miserable. That all of it, he's always falling short of fulfilling his desires through the material energy. So that's analyzed in that, that's the experience. But we're not feeling that. Stitam sattve prasidati, as one advances in devotional service, he becomes satisfied. Tada rajas tama bhava kama lopa. The desire and the greed are removed from the heart. Cheta eta enavidam stitam sattve. One becomes situated in knowledge and goodness. Prasidati, he becomes satisfied. So we're relieved from that type of experience that the materialists are burning with, are suffering from, the constant dissatisfaction and ashanti, a lack of peace in life, because of never being able to fulfill the desires. But our experience is that, not that you come to devotional life and then all of a sudden all your desires are fulfilled. No, you start serving Krishna, material desires are reduced. Material desires are distinguished. Cheta ete and avidam, these things are removed from the heart. In this way, one becomes satisfied in association with the Lord. So that's the effect. That's how it's explained. And those who practice properly, they experience this in their lives. That we are that misery is removed from our life by the process of devotional service. Guaranteed. And if it's not being removed, then we're not practicing, that we're not following the process properly. Ahoy tuki abhritiyata yeyatma suprasiddhiti is explained. Savai pungsa paradharma. The highest principle of religion, yato bhakti yat hokshaje, is to develop love for the Supreme Lord. Ahoy tuki apratiyata, that love should be without any motive for my own interest, but rather should be just for the satisfaction of the Lord. And apratiyata, it should be a complete, unbroken activity, just like we were mentioning, Krishna. The balance is everything for Krishna. Then when you practice properly, yenatma suprasiddhiti, one experiences for the soul complete satisfaction. So if one takes to the process of Bhagavad Dharma, misery of life is undoubtedly removed. And that unhappiness that we may be feeling in spiritual life, that is different. That is humility, that actually I'm unable to follow. That manusha janam apaya radhe krishna na bhajiya. Jani Ashuniya Bishakainu. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is also praying that I've wasted my life. I've voluntarily drunken poison, not worshipping Radha and Krishna. So this is a natural mood of the Vaishnava, that he feels himself to be not a Vaishnava. But when it comes to preaching, then we have to actually clearly explain, discriminate between the result and the position of one who is serving the Lord and one who is serving a material energy. One who is serving the Lord, he is free from misery. All right? Any other questions or comments on today's discussion? Nare Gopinath Prabhu, comment.
Hare Krishna. I was reading this 10th chapter of first canto, departure of Krishna towards Dwarka. And in that first few verses talk about Yudhishthir Maharaj's rule over the world as a single emperor, unrivaled emperor, and how there was prosperity. And in that, the question that was asked about what is the solution, and you said education. And Prabhupada writes in that purport something to this effect, that we have to create new species of human beings who understand this secret of success in economic development and everything. When a person like this is ruling over the world, how there is satisfaction, everything, peace, happiness and prosperity, there is flourishing, and all the cows are grazing, milk is, you know, braja, it is sisichusma brajan gava. So that is the first thing he says. We have to create a new species of human beings who are trained in this. And the second thing he says, that by comparing the current government or current situation with the previous kings and cleanse man and wipe out anachronism. So I looked into the library dictionary what it means. It says cleanse man, that means cleanse their heart, and wipe out anachronism. It's a perfect word. In the dictionary it says, from the previous you compare and remove the incongruous things. By removing that, the same, what we ideally call as Ramarajya, can be established. So this confirms what you said, that one is create a new species of human beings who understand this, and then by creating that understanding previous, you come closer to, as close as possible to the original situation. Hare Krishna.
Actually, the majority of the work has already been done for us. Prabhupada has done already, he's done the majority of the work by establishing the law and his books. That's established. We don't have to speculate now. That's already there. And it's already in English, like no other acharya has been able to do, to actually present the essence of the Vedic lore and the essence of religion. He's presented it in the, you know, in the we could say, the international language, the language which, you know, can create an international standard. So, the curriculum development is already done. And that's the hard work. Now it's simply a matter of, we just have to, you know, just make it available in so many different ways. But the real, you know, difficult work, Prabhupada's already done that. But we should not, you know, that doesn't mean that all the job's done. No, we have to serve Prabhupada. We have to fulfill his desire. We have to take on, we have to continue, carry on with his legacy, his business. This is a disciple. Disciple is one who takes on the mission of the guru and makes that his mission. Then that is the best service for Prabhupada. That is how we'll get Krishna Prem, by pleasing Prabhupada. That is our line. Prabhupada says, my only credit is that I fulfilled the mission, I fulfilled the order of my guru. So not by any other process, yasha prasadat bhagavat prasada, by his mercy, by fulfilling his desire, by serving him, by pleasing him, by doing what he wants to do. What is that? In every house there is Srimad Bhagavatam. In every school there is, you know, the teachings of the Bhagavat Dharma. If we can do that, we focus on, and devotees say, oh, you know, Krishna says, tasmat saveshu kalishu mamanushmara yujjacha. How can we remember Krishna all the time? We just get involved in this business. That is Krishna. Best thing for us, best thing for the world. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.